to Elevated Impressions.
Welcome to Elevated Impressions. This is Cal, and today I'm elevated on a Sativa strain called Super Silver Haze.
And this is Sean, and today I am elevated on a hybrid breed called Sunshine Strainbow. All right, we are here to talk about Black Panther Wakanda Forever, the sequel to Black Panther 2018, I think, yeah. Black Panther Wakanda Forever was, for some, a different type of Marvel movie. However, I would say it fit really nicely into phase four of the MCU.
Cinematic Universe?
But CU is already Cinematic Universe. Yeah.
After you said it.
Yeah. Of the MCU. You know the drill. We've got a couple of categories. We've got characters, stories, and visuals. Then we've also got our other category for anything miscellaneous that we think should be noted. Let's take a start with characters. You want to go?
Sure. So, I would say that a lot in this movie came up pretty quickly, and it went in a different manner for the characters than I expected. First off, Queen Ramonda. I wasn't ready for that, so we'll talk about that story, but she came out as the stellar character that I expected. You know, Angela Bassett playing the role, it was very emotional, very impactful. That's kind of what it was for a lot of these characters, and like everyone had stake in this movie. It was like Namor was, I'm here for my people. Everyone on that side of the fence was, hey, we're trying to survive, we're trying to not end up like you, Wakanda. And then everyone in Wakanda was like, look, we are in this time of loss, we don't have our Black Panther, you know, we don't know how to properly grieve. And the characters really sold me. Like, every scene was very impactful. I loved seeing Shuri in there. I loved seeing Riri Williams pop up and play her role. Her role was a little bit interesting, right? I thought she'd have a little bit more face time, but she played the part that she was meant to play. She was the scientist that created the machine that ended up getting this all, you know, popped off and rolling, and she was a college kid, so I give it that. We got to see the Dora Milaje come back, watching Okoye and Nakia come back and reprise their roles, seeing them all interact in that sisterly love between them. It was great to see. I loved the characters in it. There wasn't really anything that really took away from it for me overall. It kind of was where I expected, though. So overall, I'm going to give characters a 4 out of 5.
Lovely. Yeah, Listen, I really enjoyed the characters, especially Okoye, Nakia, Shuri, and Queen Ramonda, the way they like processed grief in this movie. And it was like, it was so interesting to watch, because it was like, you know, these people, you know, actually had a relationship outside of this film with Chadwick Boseman, so like grieving while filming this, I'm sure, was very, very difficult. And I'm sure it like helped them along with the process to like, you know, get some of this stuff out. So it was really, I thought, amazing acting came from all of them. Tinoche as Namor was amazing. Cannot wait to see more of that. Dominique Thorne, I saw as much as I thought we were going to see of her, considering she's got a whole TV show coming, so I'm sure they wanted to save more of, you know, her story and all of that good stuff for that, which I cannot wait for now. What did you think about her suit?
The final suit?
At the end, yeah.
I thought it was pretty good, but it seemed a little underpowered for like the type of suit.
I don't know. I wish it was more sleek, but I imagine, you know, it's the first model, or I guess it's the second model now because she had the first model on her garage. But anyways, we'll talk about that when we get to visuals. But yeah, I thought the characters were lovely. The guy who played, I don't know, he was at the United Nations for the United States. Old white guy with gray hair and whatnot. He plays in The Good Doctor, which is a show I love. He's also the voice of Odin in God of War, so that was really cool. God of War Ragnarok. And I thought the characters were great. I thought it was stellar acting. Was there anything that I didn't like? Mm-mm. It was great. I thought it was fan-motherfucking-tastic. And you know what? You know what? The first Black Panther was like Chadwick Boseman carried that shit on his shoulder. So they had like really they had a really huge gap to fill. And I think that they did it wonderfully. I'm gonna give him a 5.
I forgot to mention M'Baku. I would say played a much more role model role in this movie. And liked how he stepped into it compared to the more of a controversial, like, anti-Black Panther he kind of was in the first movie, because he was trying to get the throne and everything and he felt like he should be in place. And this one, they really melded into the culture and he really helped Shuri grow in her own kind of way. And I will say I respected that, and that was really great to see.
Yeah.
The homegirl with the purple stripe, our soon to be
Val.
Mm-hmm. She's wicked. Like everything she does is just being over the top, and I'm like, that was kind of cool. Yeah. I kind of like.
She really does great at that character. Yeah,
she really does.
Like when he said, "Have you ever stopped to think what we would do if we had vibranium?" And she is like, "I dream about it." Okay, girl.
Yeah, I like that. And home. The colonizer, he played a really cool role. I liked him being back as well. Now that I'm thinking about it and stewing on it a little bit more, I think I'll adjust my score a little bit because it was very heavy and it was a lot going on, but the roles that they played really embodied that grief, as you said. Like, that was really good. And I forgot about the, you know, additional characters. And even, like, the two generals for Namor, like, they had their own atmosphere and presence in the movie, so I'll give this a
4.5.
Yeah,
perfect. All right, let's move over to visuals. I'll start with the visuals. There were some really pretty things in here. Some of the set design was just wonderful. Like when Shuri went to the astral plane, and it was in the throne room, and when she's talking to homeboy, and she gets like she's getting upset and she's like starts yelling at him, and then the fire comes up. I was like, come on, pyrotechnics, y'all doing this shit. Set the mood. All of the underwater scenes, beautiful. Beautiful. Especially when Shuri, okay, first of all, here, I will say this. The little do I want to talk about this here or in the story? I'll talk about it in the story. Okay, so when she goes in under to she goes to visit Talokan with Namor, and they go in this little, like, I don't know, water stream or whatever, and it like takes them to the city. That was so beautiful. It reminded me of Finding Nemo. When the turtles go into the little water stream to, you know, with Crush and his little kid. It was really beautiful. And a lot of the underwater scenes, I was like, okay, this is great. I can't wait to see Little Mermaid. I see what they're doing. This is going to be so good. So I was really impressed. One of the scenes that stands out to me the most is when they're attacking Wakanda and the city's flooding and whatnot. And M'Baku jumps off of the boat and he like, you know, hits Namor, but Namor blocks it. And then Namor turns around and punches him in the chest. And they do that slow motion so you can see his like armor break. And then it flips right back into like real time and he goes flying. Oof, so pretty. So pretty. Yeah, I'm gonna give the visuals. I'm gonna give them 4.75.
Okay, okay. I will say that everything you mentioned is completely accurate for me as well. It's also just the little details. I loved the water grenades. Like, yes. When they first threw it, I was like, huh, grenades from people who are under the water. Interesting. But like the way they animate the explosion, the way they animated the like impact of it and the pressure, I was like, okay, that's a fucking water grenade. Okay, I can dig it. Like, and I love of those jet streams that they traveled through to get to Talokan. I love their armor that they utilize. I love the mass to water in it, and they have it for their gills. Like they had the gills ones until later when Namor was repeating like their history of how they were created, and then you saw the gills on their necks. And I was like, that's what it is. So it's water for the gills too. That's fucking cool.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until Riri said it. She was like, and they got, you know, he don't have the stuff on his neck. And I was like, oh shit, she was right.
My favorite scene, like this outside of what you mentioned, was definitely when they're in Talokan and the sun came up through and it like illuminated it, and they did it in such a way, and I was like, the sun underwater, what would that look like? And I'm like, yep, that's exactly what the fuck it would look like, because it's underwater. So you wouldn't get that same radiance, but it's still the impact of the water and the shimmering. Yeah, that's cool, that's beautiful. I liked the overall details on how they had that fight and like the destruction in it. Like they animated the entire scene of how they destroyed Wakanda to a perfect level. Like you could see how the water come up as the first initiating fact of it. Them coming up under the water and shit. Like the little details in this movie was beautiful.
Yeah.
Let's see. What else? I think they'll save that piece for story, but I like that ending shit that they utilized as well. And just the fighting, like they really put in the work with showing that choreography in their fight scenes from Shuri before and then Shuri in the suit. And I'm over here like, how is she doing that? But okay, she's the Black Panther, you know? It is.
Yeah, yeah, we'll talk about that in story.
I did like the ancestral plane part where she was coming up out of the water, and I'm like, that's cool. Because the heart herb fruit, heart herbed fruit? Plant? Flower? Flower. Heart herb flower?
Heart-shaped herb.
Heart-shaped herb. There we go. The root that they use from Talokan. And I'm like, okay, that would make sense that the entry is coming through water.
Okay. Makes sense. Okay.
I really enjoy it. I really enjoyed the visuals throughout this whole entire movie. So I'm going to give that a 5.
A 5, you said?
Yes, sir.
Perfect. All right. Let's move over to story. I'll start. I really enjoyed this movie. I feel like they did a really great job for, you know, the script being already done and them having to go back and rewrite it from scratch or whatever, because, you know, Chadwick Boseman is no longer with us. Plus a lot of the setbacks that they had when they were filming, because they kept having pushed stuff back because of COVID and you know, issues with injuries on the set and some, you know, politics that were coming into the filming of the movie. However, There were some things that were just, I feel like, I don't know, I feel like a lot, there was a lot in here. I will say, even though it was 2 hours and 41 minutes, I didn't feel like it was 2 hours and 41 minutes. I didn't even know it was that long because I didn't look it up before I went. I went to go watch it and then I got out and I thought it was great. And then I was talking to my mom about it and she was like, I'm not going to go see no 3 hour movie. And I was like, it's not 3 hours, it's like two. And then I looked it up and it said 2 hours and 41 minutes. I was like, damn, I was in there that long. And I even went to go see it again and I still didn't feel like it was that long. So it wasn't that the story was slow or anything. There were just some things like you said, I guess, you know, she, you know, it's all in the heart-shaped herb. It gives you the skills or whatever, I guess. But I also feel like T'Challa was training since he was a kid, and he was even doing stuff like before he was the actual, like before he took the heart-shaped herb, you know, while his dad, you know, anyway. So it just didn't... I guess, you know, I guess we just say, I guess, you know, and I'm not gonna knock it, you know, it is what it is. I would have liked to see more of Namora and the dude, I can't remember his name right now, but the right hand dude to Namor. You know what I really loved? I loved how What's his name? Oh, Namor. How he talked about like where he got his name from when he was like, the dude was like, El Niño sin Namor. So he goes by Namor. I thought that was amazing. I was like, who wrote that? That was so good.
Yeah, because that was like, because I kept thinking about his statement, like, you know, my friends call me Kukukan.
Yeah, yeah.
Call me Namor. Like, okay, you gonna tell me why Emily's calling your name more? And he did.
Yeah, that was so good. I loved that. Now, here are the things that I didn't love. Besides, her just magically being able to fight and all that good stuff. I did not like. I mean, now let me be clear. I don't know how they would have done anything different. But we talked about this in our predictions episode. He died from being sick.
Yeah.
And we were like, but he got a heart shaped herb. How would that work? Did he like, and why does she need another one to heal him? Did he not like have it, consume it already? Yeah. So that bothered me. But, you know, how would they have exit? I don't know. So, you know, and I guess that's not the point of the movie anyway. We just had to get through that and move on. But I don't know. That part bothered me because that's specifically what we said we didn't want. And then there was something else in here that I didn't care. Oh, I'm not a fan of talking people down from their thingamajigger, and I guess she spared his life or whatever, but I don't know. I always hate when they do that. I always wish they would do something different. I'm gonna give Story a 3.75.
I can get that. So I feel the same way. There were things that were like really made sense, but then there were still the things that did not, like him dying from illness. Yeah, it didn't really jive with me at all, because I'm like, okay, you don't explain what illness though. No talk about how this can overcome the powers of the heart-shaped herb, which is supposed to make him all powerful and shit. Okay, nothing there. Okay, cool, great. But as you said, we had to get through that part. That's cool, that makes sense. I did not really enjoy the conflict between T'Challa Khan and Wakanda, right? So T'Challa Khan's stance was, right, we know that since you came out, eventually we're going to get found ourselves, right? Because you were the other nation in secret, and because now people know that there's nations in secret, they're going to be searching for it more, especially because T'Challa Khan is based on vibranium as well. There's a vein of vibranium that runs under the water that no one knew about. So, okay, cool. I get that. But Namor came with hey, let's be allies and be in peace, right? But destroy the surface world before they find us. And I'm like, the whole solution that they came to could have been discussed in the beginning. Like, the stakes didn't really hone in for me, especially because of how it ended. And I'm like, I thought someone would have to die. Like, I felt like someone would have had to have died because he killed Queen Ramona. Like, blew her the fuck up. Like, and I'm like, okay, yes, we're putting off vengeance, we're getting past, I get that, but it just didn't resonate because he came in very peaceful from the jump. So I feel like this could have been just talked out entirely. Like, yeah, I could have used your words and could have gotten to the solution. Then the ending fight, when they went to fight them, I'm like, okay, so I saw they have that big old ship that they created that came in, right? And the ship was invisible. And I'm like, okay, that's how you do your thing, right? But then I thought they would create this ship that would fly because, you know, where would the people from Talokan have the most advantage? In the water. So you created a ship that stayed in the water all the time for forever and thought you was not going to get defeated by these people who are more powerful in the water? What? Huh? So yeah, that plan kind of threw me off when they stayed in the water, especially because they didn't even have like nothing protecting that sonar thing that they was trying to use to stable them, and it was only pointing down. I thought like it maybe would vibrate all across.
Yeah, the water. Yeah, yeah. Yep.
There were a lot of tactical elements there that I was like, I don't know.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I enjoyed, though, the growth aspects of the characters in the movie, right? They showed them go through their grief from Okoye to Shuri to Nakia, and they showed them growing into their own and getting past that. I think that was really well done. I think they orchestrated it pretty well, and they didn't take that usual throwing grief with over the top comedy stuff that they sometimes do in these movies. So mm-hmm. I appreciated ending that piece. And you had like one or two little jokes.
Yeah, there were a little bit.
They're very contained. Yep. So I appreciate them taking that route of it. I loved the Talokan civilization entirely. I loved the birth story, like how they came to be and how they graphically showed that, because I thought he was just going to talk about it, right? And he was just going to talk and then they would just, you know, kind of go watch him to walk around, but they gave you the full details of it and they showed it too. So I really enjoyed that. Overall, I thought it was a pretty good movie. It still had parts that I wish they would make more sense. Like, Shuri, just like, I can understand if she came out and the fight that they had on the beach area made sense, right? Because she was contained. Like, yes, she did some extra flips and shit, cool. But when she was coming down that ship and just like flitting all over the place, I'm like, you can't just not have, you have to learn that. That's something to be learned.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So overall, like, it was a good movie, but there's still some things that just didn't make sense. So I'm going to give that a 4 files.
Perfect. Is there anything else that you would like to make note of in our other category?
Nothing that I'd give a cloud to. I love the aspects that they put in for the African cultures, but I expected it, right? It
was, yeah.
They did it last in the first movie really well. I expected them to do it in this movie really well. Representation of the different cultures, the use of music throughout the movie as well. Like, that was really good. But I expected it. So it was not like it went above my expectations. But I definitely will call that out.
Perfect. I am going to give not a cloud, not a half a cloud, but 0.25 clouds. Because I did talk about this a little bit when I talked about characters, but the way this movie handled grief and the loss of T'Challa / Chadwick Boseman was phenomenal. Like, I love going to Marvel movies because I love how excited the crowd gets when things happen. And this was a very different experience. There were, like, in the opening title credit, when there was no sound, it was just dead quiet in the theater. And it really, like, emphasized like the weight of it all. Even at the end, when Shuri was sitting on the beach and she was like having her, you know, she was burning her funeral garments and having her little moment remembering her brother, dead silent in the theater. It was very heavy, and that's a feat. It's different for a Marvel movie, so I'm gonna give it, like I said, 0.25 clouds for that. Alrighty, for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, Cal, you have given a total of 13.5 clouds. I've given a total of 13.75 clouds. That brings our total average for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever to a 4.54 clouds. Now, I have a question. What do you think's next for these people?
So definitely who's going to be the leader of Wakanda, right? Because from that last scene where M'Baku was walking up saying, hey, I'm gonna, you know, put my name in for the crown, clearly Shuri's not going to be doing this. Is that designation they gave us. I feel like there's going to be something eventually with a conflict that will force them to honor that, you know, protect Talokan promise that they made, that alliance that they're putting together, because clearly the world is still coming for Vibranium. Now that they also took their only real, you know, ally, Mr. Colonizer, with them, they don't have anyone in that place to protect them whatsoever. So I feel like the next movie would be something along the lines of, you know, having to defend themselves from the rest of the world in some sort of manner. But I don't know what's going to come about because of everything else we have going on with the MCU, phase. So
who is showing up to fight Kang from Wakanda?
I feel like it's going to be Shuri and Riri Williams, but I don't think it's going to be all of Wakanda involved like we had before, like a full scale war. Like, yeah, we might also see Okoye and other homegirl in the Midnight Angels suits. Those are really cool. I still thought they were kind of ugly.
Yes, very.
Ugly.
Very. Very ugly. But you know what? First model, they'll evolve over time.
First model. So that's where I'm thinking about it. I don't know what kind of. Well, I wonder if Vibranium is going to be more important now with the Kang series, because, you know, some of these items might be made out of something akin to Vibranium.
Maybe. What about the Wakanda show that's coming? What do you think that is going to be?
I have no clue.
Yeah. Okay, and where does Prince T'Challa fit in?
Exactly. We introduced his son. So is this going to be like, are we going to see more of?
Is he joining the Young Avengers?
As what?
The next Black Panther.
So Shuri gives up the mantle?
I don't think Shuri wants it. I don't think Shuri wants it.
This is true. He could join the Young Avengers. That's a possibility.
And I'm wondering if they're going to separate it. Like, the person who is a Black Panther doesn't necessarily need to be king or queen. And if they could just be the protector
of Wakanda.
Yeah.
That would make sense, right? Because that's what the kids... 12, 6? No, 6. Yeah, because it was like 6 years. So the kid's like six or so. So that's a lot to put on this child.
And again, Yeah, he's got, and I think Nakia said that the reason they did that is because they, no, I don't remember what she said, actually. I don't want to make anything up. But,
and something along the lines of keeping him out of the political aspects.
Okay, that's, yeah. Yeah, so I would imagine they're not ready to bring him right back into that, you know?
Yeah, that was their whole reason of keeping him out. Entirely.
Yeah, so, but when he's of age, I guess, or when the world needs him.
So how many years from now?
I don't know. I mean, you know, they're introducing a lot of kids. We got, you know, what was in Thor? We got the kid that Thor's got, Love or whatever. We get, mm-hmm. and even they had Heimdall's kid in that movie. Mm-hmm. You know, Wanda got her kids that are going to be coming back. So, yeah, it's they getting ready for a new team, you know, in 10 plus years or whatever. Or maybe there's going to be a time skip. Who knows? What else? We talked about Prince T'Challa. Yeah. Right? Anything else? Oh, Ironheart. Ironheart show I'm excited for. I already said that already, but I think that comes out next fall.
Sounds about right to you. I don't follow the schedules until like the month beforehand because these shows and stuff move. So I know it's next year.
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. They said that they they weren't even thinking about doing anything with Riri Williams. And after they saw how great she was in this, that made them want to do the Ironheart show. So we'll see.
She was a good character and she had good presence, right? She fit right into it. So I like that.
She was hilarious.
She was very witty. She was very witty.
Yeah. She said, so y'all stop having a Black Panther when I get kidnapped?
She was very witty. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
So I guess we'll see. I'm curious to see like the direction of it, because unlike other aspects of the MCU, this is, from what I know, the only one that really focuses on a location, because Thor no longer has Asgard and stuff like that. So, and they didn't really focus much on New Asgard in the new movie. He's off doing his own kind of thing. And then, of course, there'll be how they're going to introduce, Namor and Talokan to the world, because that's going to eventually have to happen, because we clearly called out he was a mutant. So that's going to be our, like, you know, hey, mutants are definitely a thing. So I'm curious about that. Oh, okay. My last weird random question. Is his foot wing that Shuri chopped off going to grow back?
I don't know. I was like, why would they do that to him? Yeah.
I was like, I know you want to hurt him.
How is he gonna... Yeah.
Man, how he like hobbles around?
I don't know.
Wing?
Yeah. I was like, okay, Shuri, calm down, girl. Like, come on. You're being a little crazy now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I don't know, but I imagine he's gonna come back.
Yeah, he has to come back, right? Yeah. Why introduce the character and not kill him off for him not to come back?
Well, you know, they do a lot of not killing people off just in case.
This is true.
Yeah,
this is
just in case. So we'll see.
We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see what they do. I'm curious where they go.
Yeah. No other Avengers were at the funeral.
Yes.
No Storm.
We assumed that was... Well, we thought you would get like a little weird white-haired glimpse somewhere, but no.
Yeah.
I guess with the reverence of his funeral, I guess that's why they kind of kept them out, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question. Do you think, because I don't think his son in the comics is named Prince T'Challa. So I believe this is something like new that they're doing. So I'm wondering, you know, if we get further down the line, I don't know how many years in the future, but once he's a little older, maybe we can have a T'Challa and Storm romance.
Oh, I see where you're going with it.
Yeah. I
see where you're going with it. Well, then that would... Then it would have to be a time skip of a sort, right? Because if we're trying to
They said they're not going to do X-Men until after this multiversal saga.
Oh, yes. We did confirm that. So, yeah, we have the time.
Yeah.
We definitely have the time for him to grow up and become Black Panther. And thus it is T'Challa Storm.
Yeah, it's like a little reset button, to be honest. Now they just got to find somebody to play T'Challa again.
Oh, that's a rough match.
Yeah.
There's some big shoes to fill, but I guess it's still going to be big shoes to fill because he was the only T'Challa, and it's not like he played multiple movies. And yeah, so I guess still going to be big shoes to fill whenever they fill that again.
Yeah, but it'll be lots of time.
I think that would be cool, right? Because it would give Storm her more ethnic roots connected to it, right? And then that could be introduced Wakanda into whatever conflict is happening, and then that can also connect the Namor of mutants and stuff. I think there's ways to go.
Yeah.
There's ways to go.
I love it.
Me too. Well, this is Cal.
And this is Sean. Don't forget to like and subscribe. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, ZippyStream, and wherever you find your podcast. Thanks for flying, folks. See you next time on Elevated Impressions.
Thanks for flying with Elevated Impressions.